Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride.
Hey, everyone. In this episode, I want to talk about boundaries. Boundaries are so important because even if you have the best plan for your sabbatical, if you don't set boundaries in advance, things are going to pull on your time during your sabbatical. So one of the things that we work on, and one of the things that I think is really powerful and helpful for my clients in my program, is identifying the kinds of boundaries you need to set for your sabbatical, making a plan to communicate them, and then putting those boundaries in place before your sabbatical starts. The reason this is so helpful is because it helps you to just decide once, right? So you have a plan for what you're going to do, and that helps you avoid decision fatigue when the requests start coming in. And trust me, if you are on sabbatical, or if you've earned a sabbatical, you are a highly successful academic, right? So people are not going to stop needing things from you or wanting things from you just because you're on sabbatical. So in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about how my thinking about boundaries has evolved, and I will give you some strategies you can use to put boundaries in place for your sabbatical. So I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but I took a year-long sabbatical that started in the fall. And as I was planning, to be honest, I really wasn't giving any thought to the boundaries that I would need to set to protect my time while I was away. I guess I figured that sometime in mid-August, I would put up my email away message and ride off into the sabbatical sunset. That wasn't what I did, but that was my plan originally. So luckily, sometime in the spring, before my sabbatical began, a mentor and a good friend asked me about my plan for setting boundaries, essentially. She asked, you know, how are you going to let your advisees, other students, and research collaborators know about your availability during sabbatical? I was embarrassed to admit that I really didn't have one, right? My plan was the away message. I think I had been vaguely aware that setting some boundaries for my sabbatical would be important, and that that would help me avoid getting pulled into things that didn't really serve my sabbatical priorities. But I really hadn't given any thought to how I might systematically identify and then communicate those boundaries. So luckily, I have really smart colleagues, and this same mentor encouraged me to spend some time thinking about how I wanted to engage in both my ongoing research collaborations and support students during my sabbatical. And she said, you know, and then you should let people know what those boundaries are. This seems so obvious now, but it really wasn't something that I had thought about before she mentioned it to me. And perhaps one of the most helpful things she suggested was that I could think about having different boundaries for different people and projects. Again, this seems so obvious now, but at the time I'd never considered it. So as I was planning for my sabbatical, I had three advisees who were all at different stages of their doctoral program. And I was also on a handful of committees for students who were also at different stages of the PhD program. So my original plan to put up the away message really didn't account for the fact that these students had different needs and that I could differentiate the level of support I provided during my sabbatical accordingly. So prompted by this conversation with my mentor, I came up with a plan for supporting each of my advisees during my sabbatical, and I discussed that plan with them during a regular advising meeting. Just to give you a sense of what those boundaries looked like, I had one student who was in the beginning stages of their doctoral study and was primarily doing coursework, so I only met once per semester with that student. I had another student who I co-advised with a colleague, and I was able to actually step back into a very minimal role during my sabbatical, and my colleague who was the co-advisor took the lead on that one. I did review one piece of written work and met with that student once during sabbatical. And finally, for my third student who was at the point where they needed to complete an important program milestone, I was able to enlist the support of a colleague who was actually who could be a point person for that work. So they had more frequent meetings in the fall semester. And then in the spring, I kind of took over and met with that student monthly to support her progress. So creating these plans with support from my colleagues and in dialogue with my students really helped me feel confident so that I could protect my time while I was on sabbatical, while also ensuring my advisees had the support they needed. Setting boundaries can feel really hard, but they're so critical to mental health and well-being, even when we're not on sabbatical. Boundaries are particularly important during a sabbatical, though, because they serve as guardrails to ensure you can use your time away to focus on your priorities and avoid being pulled into work that does not align with your goals for sabbatical. So as those requests come in, and like I said, they will because you have earned a sabbatical, which means you're highly successful and respected in your field. So please know the requests for your time are not going to stop just because you're on sabbatical. And as they come in, it may seem like no big deal to say yes to a meeting or to agree to review an article. But if you take this approach, you're going to find your calendar rapidly filling up with commitments that you didn't anticipate for your sabbatical. And since none of us have unlimited hours in the day, and your sabbatical is also time limited, this means that the more you start taking on during your sabbatical, the less time you'll have to accomplish what you set out to do during your time away. And it's hard to notice that happening while you're in the thick of things. But it does, right? Because anytime we commit to do something, it means that we can't do something else. So if you want your sabbatical to be a success, whatever that means to you, you have to set boundaries. Here's how you can do it. So the first thing I would suggest you do is look at your calendar and identify the commitments that come up regularly and the ones that you might expect to come up during your sabbatical. Make a list of all of these commitments. So for example, you might have recurring meetings with students you mentor, committee meetings for local and national service, and requests for reference letters from current and former students. You might also anticipate being asked to review articles for journals, meet with prospective students in your program, or respond to an inquiry about a course you teach regularly. So list those all on a piece of paper, in a spreadsheet, whatever you prefer. And then for each of those commitments, I want you to identify the boundary that you want to set for your sabbatical and actually write it down. So, like I said before, you are probably going to have different boundaries for each of these categories of commitment that comes up. And you may even have different boundaries within a category. So maybe you are on the editorial board of a journal. You will have a different boundary for that journal than you would for journals that you're not on the editorial board for. So you're going to identify the boundary you want to set for that category and write it down. And how available you decide to be during your sabbatical is completely up to you. But I want to stress that it's so important to decide in advance and to be very clear about it with the individuals involved. You might feel like you're being mean or harsh or, I don't know, lots of feelings come up around setting boundaries, right? But it's actually going to make it easier for you and for anyone involved if everyone knows what the expectation is. And it's also for you much easier to set a boundary in advance. And then as a request comes in, you can just reference that boundary. That's so much easier and requires so much less energy than deciding how to handle each new request in the moment. The next thing you need to do is make a plan to communicate each boundary. So after you've decided which boundaries you need to set, I want you to write down how you'll plan to communicate each boundary. Do you need to have a meeting or phone call? Would an email suffice? Maybe it's just going into the editorial management program for the journals you regularly review for and marking yourself as unavailable during your sabbatical. And as you're doing that, I would say add a little buffer time, right? You don't want all those requests coming in the moment you get back from sabbatical. Make a plan, give yourself a deadline for completing it, and hold yourself accountable. And the last thing you need to do, and maybe this is the hardest, I don't know, I keep saying everything is hard. I'm not sure which of these things is actually the hardest, but the last thing you have to do is be consistent. The power of boundaries comes from consistently holding them. And although it might be hard and uncomfortable at first, as you practice holding boundaries consistently, you'll become more confident in your boundaries and in your ability to hold them. You'll also be setting a powerful example for your students and your colleagues. So I had a sabbatical that was better and more transformative than I could have ever imagined or expected. And I really attribute this in large part to the boundaries I set before it began. I don't think that the email away message plan that I had initially would have helped me achieve the same result as creating and communicating boundaries with intention. So if you have a sabbatical on the horizon, or maybe you're already on sabbatical and you haven't done this yet, I really encourage you to learn from the mistake that I almost made and spend a little bit of time identifying and communicating boundaries that will help ensure the success of your sabbatical. I guarantee you won't regret it. And if you're interested in getting some support with setting boundaries, I would encourage you to check out my website, www.bethanywalensky.com. On my website, you can learn about the sabbatical planning services that I provide. I help academics plan their life-changing sabbatical, and right now I am booking clients for the summer and fall of 2025. So if you're looking to plan your sabbatical this summer or fall, I would encourage you to reach out because those spots are filling quickly. And if you're someone who's already on sabbatical and it is not going well for whatever reason, please reach out to me. I have a program called Sabbatical Rescue, and we can really quickly turn your sabbatical around and put you on the fast track to success. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have fun setting your sabbatical boundaries.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywalensky.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.